Think of a better way to be a dad than to bring your family to church. And that is a great blessing that the Lord has bestowed on us. Our words for today are from the Gospel reading, the Sermon on the Plain, Luke chapter 6. And some very, very interesting words for us to reflect on today. Jesus teaches us, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." One of the most often used and perhaps often misused portions of all Scripture. We pray that God will richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 915, "Today Your Mercy Calls Us." Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Page 184 and following, we have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Vicar is on vacation, and we need to pray for him. We pray that he gets back safe and sound. As soon as they took off, transmission went out on their van. So it's been a stressful and expensive vacation for him. But scheduled to be back tomorrow or Tuesday morning for Bible study, I guess. So keep them in your thoughts and prayers as well. Before we sing, let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you shower down upon us, the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son. Heavenly Father, we have been the recipients of mercy. You have not given us what we deserve, but instead you have given us your Son. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are ours because of the holy, innocent, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. Heavenly Father, as you have been merciful to us, help us to be merciful to others. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. Hymn 915.
Thank you. service, setting number 3, page 184, page 184, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your federal and eternal punishment. But I am utterly sorry for them, and sincerely repentant of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated. The Old Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday after Trinity comes from the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please, forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of the gradual, we speak them together. Atone for our sins, for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, deliver us. The epistle comes from the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Rome. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless, and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. This is the gospel of our Lord. Having heard the very words of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 696. 696.
Lord, hear our prayer. Keep me from saying words that later need recalling. Guard me lest idle speech may from my lips be falling. But when within my place I must and ought to speak, then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak. Amen. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Text before us this morning, the gospel reading that we heard from Luke chapter 6, especially these words. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if there are words in the Bible that are more used and abused than these words right here in Luke chapter 6, I'd like to know it. I'd like to find out. These words are often quoted. These words are often used in ways that are clearly contrary to God's holy word. Let me just give you an example. How many stewardship programs, yes, even some in the Lutheran church, are based on this passage? Give and it will be given to you. In full measure, pressed down. You know, if you give, God will give back to you. You can't outgive the Lord. So put a little more money in the collection plate and look at how the blessings will come overflowing unto you. A win-win situation, right? A little more money in the church coffers, your portfolio will grow and grow and grow. Only one problem with this win-win situation. It's really lose-lose, because it's works righteousness repackaged, manipulating God. It's really about serving yourself and not Him. Or those who would say, if you forgive other people, then God will love you. Then God will forgive you. Again, simply another form of works righteousness where we try to earn our way into God's favor and earn God's forgiveness by what we do. But the worst of all, and the focus of our meditation today, are those words that we hear quite often. Judge not. Condemn not. Judge not lest ye be judged. How many times haven't we heard that? Maybe heard that on TV, or on the radio, or in movies, or at the workplace, or in our families, or maybe right here in the congregation. What right do you have to judge me? This is the new motto and new mantra of our world. I'm going to do what I want to do and you can't judge me. It says so right in the Bible. So, what is Jesus teaching us in these words? Before we can find out what He is saying here, we have to be very clear what He is not saying. He is not saying that all form of judging is wrong. That would be contrary to the Bible. That would be contrary to the Scripture. Parents, you are to judge the behavior of your children. Fathers, hear that on this Father's Day. This is your God-given responsibility. If you didn't judge the behavior of your children, your family would be in chaos and utter ruin. God has given authority, their power, their judging authority. Jesus told Pilate, you would have no power at all if it were not given to you from above. The Apostle Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 13 that the authorities, those who have been placed over us, the governmental authorities, have been given the power to judge, to reward good behavior, and to punish evil behavior. This is a God-given right. If we didn't, what kind of a world would we live in? It would be utter chaos. You think it's dog-eat-dog now? If you cast off all rule and all authority and all punishment, it would be impossible to live. But that's not the only kind of judging that God's Word authorizes. Those authorities, be they governmental or in our family with parents, God has given the right, the duty, and the responsibility to every Christian to judge false teaching, to judge doctrine. He says, beware of false teachers. How can you beware of false teachers unless you know what is right and what is wrong? Unless you discern truth from error? Unless you judge the words coming out of a teacher's mouth? And this is especially true for pastors. Pastors who have been given the responsibility to warn the flock, to warn the sheep entrusted to them with regard to false teachers and false teachings. The Apostle Paul teaches Titus and us, Titus 1 verse 9, the pastor must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. God's word is clear. These forms, these types of judging are not only good, they are necessary. They are God-pleasing. They are part of how God has established His order. So then what in the world is He talking about when He says, judge not? He's talking about how we treat one another. He's talking about how we live the Christian life. He's talking about our attitude and our demeanor and our words. You see, those words, judge not, condemn not, they're almost always quoted out of context. The first word is not judging. The first word is not condemning. The first word is not giving or even forgiving. Jesus said, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. These words are all about mercy. Mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Mercy. All of us have been the recipients of mercy, divine mercy, God's mercy. Mercy met judgment head on. And mercy won. Mercy won. Not by saying, oh, we'll turn a blind eye to that behavior or that sin. Not by whitewashing sin. Not by pretending it doesn't exist. Mercy Mercy defeated judgment and justice through the holy, innocent life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus placed Himself under the condemning law, the law that condemns us, every one of us. Jesus took that condemnation for us. Jesus takes all of our sins of apathy toward God's Word, all of our sins of being judgmental against our neighbor without thinking of our own sins, all of our sins to Calvary's cross, bleeding, dying, rising, offering forgiveness, life, and salvation, mercy, not giving us what we deserve. Death, our greatest enemy, could not hold the sinless Son of God. 3 days later, Jesus is alive again, offering mercy. The first words out of His mouth to the disciples were not words of judgment and condemnation for their shameful behavior. No. Peace. Peace I give to you. Peace I bring to you. My friends, judgment and condemnation did not bring any of you into the kingdom of God. Judgment and condemnation did not scare you into the Christian church. Judgment and condemnation were placed on Jesus instead of on us. Mercy, full and free. And God who loves us, who has given us this mercy, calls us to hear this good news, that God would send His Son to bleed and die for poor, miserable sinners like us. To cling, not to God's word of law or God's word of judgment, to cling to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, which is forgiveness, life, and salvation for you and for me and for the life of the world. My friends, if there is no sin, we don't need a Savior. If there is no sin, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was for nothing. Sin is real. Your sin, my sin, sin in the world, we know it. We know it all the time. People who appeal to these words, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," try to silence the mouth of God. They try to silence the words of Scripture. They try to shame and embarrass Christians into crawling into a hole and being afraid to speak the truth in love, which is what God calls us to do. We speak God's words with boldness and confidence because they're not our words. They're God's words. And what Jesus is teaching us today is while there are times and places for these words of judgment and condemnation in our vocation, in our office, when we are dealing with fellow sinners, we are to deal with them according to mercy. What does that mean? That means putting the best construction on somebody else's words or actions, even though deep down we know they're guilty of sin. It means giving people a break, cutting people some slack. It means living out the golden rule, doing unto others as you would have others do unto you. It means not being judgmental right out of the gate. It means seasoning our words with salt, as Paul writes in the book of Colossians. Or, It looks an awful lot like our epistle lesson from Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is what God is calling us to do. You who have received mercy, you who have been given the kingdom of God, forgiveness, life, and salvation, full and free, now treat others as God has treated you. Love, live, give, forgive. My friends, this is really hard to do. It certainly does not come natural. Not to any of us. What comes natural is to lord it over people. What comes natural is to pick at the speck in somebody else's eye when you got a log in your own. Trust me, over the years, I know what it's like to have eye issues. Even the tiniest little speck in your eye can drive you to your knees. And yet that's exactly what we do, isn't it? We're so concerned about how other people live, act, talk, think, breathe, feel. And you know why that is? Because then we don't have to think about ourselves. If I can be a fault finder with other people, I don't have to dwell on my own faults. My friends, it has been my experience over the last 25 plus years that most of the people who are extremely judgmental and fault finders with others are simply guilty. They feel guilty. They feel miserable. They don't know how to get rid of their guilt. They don't want to deal with it. And so rather than dealing with their own guilt, their own hurt, their own shame, their own sin, they have found a way to not think about it. Their own guilty conscience forces them to find fault in other people. If you're like me, you really want to avoid those people, don't you? Yes. Because you know that even though they may not be talking about you while you're there, you know what's probably happening as soon as you walk away. My friends, show mercy. Judge not. Don't be so quick to condemn. Love. Encourage. Embrace. Gently, lovingly, point them to the only thing that can heal that hurting conscience. Lead them to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Real sin. Their sin, your sin, my sin, all sin. My friends, the only people who can truly understand these words of Jesus are those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus, who have been redeemed by the Lamb, washed clean in holy baptism, those who have been born again, those who have faith in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are the only ones that can understand, judge not, lest ye be judged. All other attempts will be simply to muzzle and silence the truth of God's Word. We know better. We know better. Jesus Christ has bled and died for real sin. It doesn't do any good to define sin away. And our culture is doing a wonderful job of it. Almost always it has to deal with some form of sexuality or personal identity or other such nonsense. My friends, trust God's Word. He's not holding out on you. He's given you everything you need to know, body and soul. Rejoice in the mercy that He has given you. And as God has shown you and me true mercy, my friends, be merciful with one another. Be merciful in your families. Be merciful as this marks the true Christian life. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our mercy, our forgiveness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. To be merciful when we would rather be judgmental and condemning requires a gift from God. And that gift is a new heart, which He freely gives. We continue now with our offertory, page 192. Please stand as you're able. Welcome in the name of our merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. This time also we worship God with our gifts and our offerings. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that God's mercy would overflow in and through you today and always.
Almighty God, who finds the lost, welcomes those who return, who calls on us to be merciful, as You have shown us mercy. Here are the petitions we now bring before You in the name of Your righteous Son, Jesus Christ. Gracious Lord, defend Your holy church throughout the world. Keep her safe from all harm and danger. Defend those who suffer for Your name's sake, and give them a boldness to confess the salvation that Christ Jesus has won for us. Lord, in Your mercy, bless the pastors and teachers of Your church, that they would rightly defend the faith. Preserve them from all error, false belief, and other great shame and vice. Bless the preaching of Your word, that we might not be caught unawares by the snares of Satan. And bless the preaching of Your gospel, that many would join in all the gifts of salvation and forgiveness. Lord, in Your mercy, bless all our families, and especially on this day, all called to the vocation of fatherhood, that they might faithfully provide and care for those entrusted to them in both body and soul. Lord, in Your mercy, support and defend all who are facing any trials or tribulations, those in any want or need, those who are burdened with animosity in the home, workplace, or community, those who are suffering from illness, especially those who have requested our prayers, and those who are frail or homebound. Give strength and endurance in the midst of all difficulty, and grant them restoration and relief. Lord, in Your mercy, gracious Lord, You call all Your penitent children to the feast of Holy Communion. Grant that we who feed on this most holy feast today would delight in the common forgiveness You provide for us all, and make us ready to shower Your love on one another. Lord, in Your mercy, Holy Father, Your Son is victor over death and the grave. Receive our praise this day for all who have fallen asleep in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life in Him. Grant to all who mourn Your comfort, especially the family of Dan Wagner, the family of Pauline Rinney, and the family of Sarah Berndush. Grant to us the grace to live in Your fear, die in Your faith, and rise in the light of Your presence. Lord, in Your mercy, in Your great mercy, You have had compassion on us. Make us to remember Your love in the days to come, that we might ever give thanks and praise to You, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, Your dear Son, who with You and the Holy Spirit are one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We turn to the service of the sacrament, beginning on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for His fallen creation, humbled Himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, He has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Holy, Holy.
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not
into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith till life everlasting. Go at peace with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 199, 199. Thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Closing hymn 632, you may be seated.
him in the name of the one who truly is mercy in action for us. A couple of quick announcements. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. Bible study in the fellowship hall. We'll continue our look at Ecclesiastes. And you're all invited to join us for coffee and goodies.